UFO Reporting Center.
I have a collect call for anyone from an air traffic control specialist. Will you accept the charge, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Albany, New York.
Yes.
Okay, I see we got a letter in our facility. I work in an air traffic control facility, a flight service station at Albany County Airport.
Yes.
And I just thought I'd call you. I don't have a UFO to report at this time or anything, but I was involved in a UFO incident that took place in our area here back in 1974, and I thought maybe I could, I don't know if you have any record of it. I refer to it personally as the Round Lake incident.
Okay, I'd like to hear about it.
Well, this was back when I was on duty one evening. I've got the dates here. I'm calling partly. I don't know if I can shed any light on the situation because it happened so long ago. Part of the reason, actually, I'm calling is maybe you could help fill in some stuff, some information that I have, because I'm still curious about it. Let's see, August 20th. Hey, that was yesterday. So that was back in 1974.
Uh-huh.
And we received a call from the state police, New York State Police, up around Round Lake, which is, I'd say about 20 miles. 15 miles north of Albany, New York. And it's just south of, you can find on your map, the Saratoga Lake. Saratoga Lake is a fairly large lake. And Round Lake is a town and also literally a round lake that's situated just south of Saratoga Lake.
Yes.
And we had the troopers called up. They called our facility and spoke to me and asked if we had anything, any strange objects or anything on radar in the vicinity of Round Lake. So I told him that I wasn't working in the radar room, but I would check. So I called over to the fellas, my associates over there in the approach control facility, and they said, yeah, as a matter of fact, they did see some objects that were appearing very strange over the Round Lake area at this time. This was about, 7:30 in the evening, I think, when I first got the call, 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I asked him what the targets looked like, and he said, well, they had anywhere from one to up to four targets at one time over the lake itself. And I asked the troopers what they saw down there, the reason for their call. He says, well, he had reports from concerned citizens up there about some strange objects appearing over the lake at that time. So they had sent up a couple of cars, and through the course of the evening, there were no less than four units that were up there at one time observing some strange objects. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of the story a little bit. But in the earlier part of the evening, they had two or three cars at this time situated in strategic locations around the perimeter of the lake. Some of them are on the north, another one is the southeast, and another one is in a similar area, I think. And it reported some sort of object, which is hard to describe, over the lake. And they said that at some time the object would break off into several smaller objects. And these objects would move around and then merge back into one object again. And this thing was moving around at various areas of the lake so that the state police over the north end of the lake would be observing it and describing it over the radio to their dispatcher, while the people at the south end of the lake no longer saw the object.
Uh-huh.
And then sometime later on, the object would appear over the southeast end of the lake and disappear over the north end of the lake. So I asked the troopers, I says, oh, here's a unique experience. I says, finally get a really good description of these things. So I asked the guy, who was very perturbed. He happened to be a helicopter pilot, and he was cursing all those guys up there. He says, I should be up there watching these things, you know. He's an ex-Vietnam veteran, I guess. So he was really interested in this sort of thing. He was stuck on dispatch that night. So anyways, I asked him if he could get a description from these guys. He says, well, there's roundish-looking objects, he says, with lights on them. That's all I know right now. He says, yeah, well, I'd like to find out if does it appear that the lights are on the objects or inside the objects, or the objects themselves appear to be glowing. Are they solid or pure translucent or anything, you know, something really detailed? So he says, wait a minute. He says, I'll get a description. Here, listen. So what he did was he called the troopers, and he put in the course of the evening, it was starting to get kind of dark. I think it was, I think he had to hang up or something like this, and then he called me back later on again because this shenanigans was still going on. So I think it was sometime later. I can't quite remember. It was about 9 o'clock or so, I think. And he called back, and he said the objects were still around there. He says he had about four cars up there now, including the one of the BCI investigators from the local area who was on his way up there now to check out these things personally. So he was en route up there, from the southeast. So I called the radar room again. I says, let me see if we can get an aircraft up in that area there. Maybe the guys are working somebody who can go up and investigate these things. So I talked to the guys in approach control in the radar room again, and they had been watching these things, you know, continuously all this time, too, and they were kind of astounded. They had never really seen anything like this on radar before as far as, you know, targets acting like this. As far as the distance of the objects or the targets from the center of the scope, that is what they call the main bang, like the radar unit itself is physically located at Albany County Airport.
Yes.
So the distance from the radar antenna up to Round Lake is fairly close. Just have to look at my map. I couldn't tell you offhand what it is now. But I'd say between 15 and 20 miles, probably no more than 15 miles. And at this range, still it's awfully difficult to discriminate individual targets, and they're very close together. In other words, like if you get, I don't know how much you know about radar, I'm assuming the person, you know, someone who doesn't know too much about it, that's if you get two targets that are very close together, the radar has a certain beam width, and depending on the width of the beam that sweeps across the targets and might pick them up simultaneously, it only appears as one target.
Right.
Whereas in this case, they actually had as many as four targets at one time, which was interesting the way it coincided, you know, confirmed what the state police were saying. So they must have been fairly good distance apart, or a fairly large sized object or something, but the distance apart would have to be something of significance in order to pick up four targets. But the guys are convinced they saw something very strange up there. They couldn't quite make out what the heck it was. And anyways, they said they did have an aircraft that they were going to try and maneuver up in that area. I guess a private pilot just flying around. I think it was a Cessna 172, if I remember correctly, a light signal engine aircraft. And he was someplace down to the southwest of this area. And they said that they were going to send him up there to investigate. So they started vectoring this aircraft up there. And I told the state troopers, this as well, tell the guys up there now that we're going to have a light aircraft coming up from the southwest to investigate. So by now it was getting starting to get pretty dark. So I said, it was just twilight. So I told them, look for an object coming up from the southwest with red and green position lights and possibly a landing light. So this will be a light aircraft, not to confuse it with the objects, if somebody does. So they saw the aircraft come up, and well, lo and behold, as fate would have it, of course, the object disappeared as soon as the aircraft got up there, and he circled around and didn't see a darn thing for some time. But as soon as he went away, the objects came back again.
Mm-hmm. That's a common.
The troopers.
Right.
But anyways, let's see. This received press coverage in the papers that evening. It was on television, as a matter of fact, too. I guess everybody was out there by this time of night. And one fellow, I remember correctly, was watching it on TV, described it as a pancake object. He says it was a very elongated object when it was over the lake. But he says the thing would come up overhead, and then it would be perfectly round. Describe it something like a cigar-shaped object over the lake, and then round when it came overhead. And,
yes.
I think this one fellow had even drawn pictures of it. He drew some sketches, or perhaps described it to someone else who drew the sketches and confirmed it, or something like that. So they had the sketches on TV too. And let's see. I think the whole thing was over with about 10:30 at night, or something like that. Because I called the troopers back just before I went off watch, about 11 o'clock or so, and there was no more word of these objects at all. But one other interesting thing occurred, sort of the coup de grace to the whole evening. It was about 10 o'clock or so that the radar controllers were working a twin-engine prop aircraft. Was the Air Force, one of the older transport aircraft, I guess probably used for training flight, the T-29, like a twin-engine Convair 340 or something. And the aircraft was in the vicinity. It must have been coming up over the Saratoga Lake, which is just a short distance to the north of Round Lake, because he was on an airway, and he was heading due west, just coming up on this area. So he would be looking sort of in the vicinity of the Round Lake, Saratoga Lake area. And he was at 8,500 feet, and he called over the controllers. I don't remember what anybody told me. All I can do is this one particular case, I can quote from, they had an article in the Inquirer, I don't know how accurate it is, but just what the report was. Oh, I got it written down here myself. See what I put down here. Oh, he described it as a red streak traveling from north to south very fast, extremely fast. So some object was in the sky ahead of him, and I think it was slightly above him.
Mm-hmm.
And the controllers confirmed this. They picked up an object coming from this area, which is the vicinity of Saratoga around lakes, and really picked it up. Good, here's confirmation of the distances. I got down here 17 miles and 16 seconds. So that means that the Round Lake area would be about 17 miles, more or less, between, like I said, 15 to 20 miles. And they clocked it on radar, and the speed would have to come out to something like 3,500 miles an hour. So it was seen visually and picked up on radar, and the object disappeared. It was heading, in other words, from due north to due south.
Uh-huh.
And 15 seconds, that would give about three or four sweeps of the radar antenna. And based on this, they clocked at about 3,500 miles an hour, and it disappeared over Albany. They lost it right over the airport.
That's clipping right along.
Yeah, that could have been a meteor. It could have been very coincidental, which is very appropriate for the evening. But they could, you know, they could pick up a meteor being a solid object. Low in the atmosphere would be burning like that, and visually, and also could be picked up on radar without any problem, I don't think.
Would your radar there go up that high?
Well, I talked to the technicians to find out just what the pattern was, how high it is, and the radar stretches more or less from horizontal at the side of the antenna. And it actually, it goes up to about pretty close to 50,000 feet, between 45 and 50,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's an approach surveillance radar, so it's not actually designed to work effectively or detect aircraft up that
right.
high, because they're only concerned with aircraft in the terminal area, which is only 10,000 feet for Albany. So that's what all they're concerned about, is the accuracy of the and the workings of the radar up to 10,000 feet is all they're
right.
concerned with. But the beam itself, I know, does go up to about very high altitude. Well, my altitude anyway is 45, 50,000 feet.
When the troopers were watching those objects, did they ever report any sound?
No, soundless. Just like the description I got from that one trooper in the car, he says absolutely soundless.
Oh, my darn.
Perfectly round, absolutely soundless. Okay, he wrote that down here someplace. So we got all my little junk sheets here that I wrote down things down on. Here's another thing. So 15 to 20 feet in diameter, circular. Now, I don't know how they judge the distance. Or judge the width of the things. I've got two or three circles down here, 15 to 20 feet in diameter. And I've got five dots down here that, I don't know if this means that there were five. Didn't do a very good job of documenting all the stuff at the time. I was kind of hectic that night, and I made a mistake by not writing it all down, you know, everything that I could. But as time goes by, it seems I'm getting more and more curious about this particular incident, and I've always threatened to go back and talk to the troopers or something like that. Which brings us to another point, too. I was just wondering, I don't know what your organizational structure is and all that sort of thing, but I was wondering if you have any field investigators, I'd be willing to volunteer.
We'd be more than happy to have you.
Yeah, if you have any incidents or anything that pops up over here, I'd be in a pretty good, you know, position to pick them up first from either law enforcement agencies or pilots or something like this that spot something very strange, and I could go up on my own time and wouldn't mind interviewing people and talking to them, and got fascinated by the whole thing myself, and I would enjoy doing something like that. I have a pretty good background for it, too. I've always been interested in photography and astronomy, and been a sky watcher for some time. I'm a certified weather observer, and I'm a rated commercial pilot and flight instructor, so I got a lot of sky watching time. I've seen a lot of strange things, but nothing I couldn't explain before.
Yes, okay.
Before this time.
Getting back to that, the sightings by the lake, so when the objects disappeared from the area, that is, according to the ground observers, did they also disappear from the radar simultaneously?
I couldn't say. I didn't run across that. I don't remember. I didn't write that down.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The trouble is, you know, I couldn't stay on the phone with him. It was kind of hectic. He had to leave. He had other calls and stuff that he had to go away, and sometimes as soon as he came back, it was something, some detail I had to take care of, so I had to leave him. So it was kind of hectic. I couldn't, you know, really work right with him and right with the guys in the radar room. It was
very difficult to do in something like that.
It was kind of hodgepodge.
Right.
Three parties on the line at one time and trying to coordinate all this, so all the guys in the tower had other traffic that was busy, too, so we were all just, it was kind of hectic trying to put all this stuff together and everything. I asked the guys, we're co-located with the Weather Service. National Weather Service has a forecasting office that's co-located with my facility. I asked one of the meteorologists what kind of atmospheric conditions would have to prevail to produce a target like this that could be seen visually and on radar, something that obviously was solid to be picked up on radar. Well, solid in the sense that they got a radar return. So temperature inversions, of course, are known. Radar will pick up. It's very tricky. It can pick up ground objects and it can pick up temperature inversions too, like even a cold front moving through the area or something under just the right conditions can cause the temperature change in such a way that will bounce back a signal and you will actually see a line on a radar scope. I know I've seen that. And the radar beam itself can be either bent down or bent up. If it's bent up, it can shoot over the horizon, pick up objects that are much farther away. And it's called super refraction or sub refraction, which bend the radar beam down under certain circumstances where they'll pick up ground targets. Matter of fact, up in this area, it's kind of prevalent in one certain section, and we have the Northway, which is Interstate 87, which goes from Albany up to Montreal. They'll pick up automobiles occasionally down there. They'll give a target to an aircraft to play out something is, say, 2 o'clock position, slow moving southbound, and I look and say, well, there's nothing out there. It's just we got a bus on the Northway.
Yes. Okay, well, we sure appreciate you calling in this report.
Okay, well, it's kind of sketchy and it's pretty old. I thought maybe I could just shed a little bit more light on it in case you had something like that in your file. And thought maybe I could get some information, too, in case you did have something that you could let me in on. But I just wondered, what's your organization like in it? What your setup is there?
Okay, the name of the organization is Phenomena Research. And we're operating the UFO Reporting Center as part of gathering data, making contact with people who've had UFO experiences. And we're conducting a very active research program, an overall study of the UFO phenomenon and any possible related events. It's a very small organization, which we like to... That is, it has a small staff because we feel we get more done that way. And we have investigators scattered around the country and in Canada. Not too many people have heard of us because we kind of frown on publicity. It acts as an interference to the time that we do have to work with the subject. But we're very active. We're getting a lot done. We feel that the mystery just isn't as deep as it was 5 years ago, simply by some of the things that we've learned out here. We're convinced that we're dealing with objects which are not manufactured on this planet. I know that there's a lot of theories as to where they're coming from, but we haven't made any conclusions in that field yet.
I'd be interested to get some of the information that you're coming up with one way or another.
Right. We publish a periodical phenomena research report, and we'll get you on the list for that, and along with any other information that we put out, you'll be sure to get that too. And of course, if we hear of anything in your area, we'll get to you right away by phone. We feel that investigations, on-the-spot investigations, are an absolute must in this field, and we try to get our investigators going on it as fast as we can.
What information have you come up with recently? Is there any significant development or something that's trying? I mean, I have followed this stuff in the last several years. I kind of know what all the feelings are, the opinions.
Well, right now, we've seen a very radical change in the pattern of activity and behavior. There's very little being seen in the sky. Most of the events are taking place on the ground in the form of landings and occupants. We're we're getting more and more confirmed cases of abductions around the country. And this, we feel, is an entirely new phase of activity on the part of the so-called aliens. We're watching this pretty close.
How is your organization financed?
It's self-funded. The members of the staff put up quite a bit of money, and then we have a small input from donations. We don't have a paid membership because we just don't want to be bothered with putting out publications on schedule and all the other red tape and paperwork involved.
Who are the people that comprise your directorship there?
They're residents of Seattle. A portion of them have scientific credentials. Others are laymen who have a very deep interest and background in the subject. There's only about 12 on the staff, and they do all the investigating in the local area. They do all the research work and man the reporting center. They're all volunteers. Very dedicated people.
Well, let's see. That's about all I can think of right now. I'll have a few more questions. Probably give you a call some other time or something, maybe to get some more information, or maybe I'll have some information for you, too.
Yeah, we're going to be in contact with you by mail and give you all the information that you're going to need. And we sure appreciate this report and this information on this one event.
Yeah, if you'd like to, just out of curiosity, if you want to dig back, about the only thing that I've seen that's published other than what I've given you here is an article that appeared, someone interviewed the controllers up there in the Inquirer, had an article in here in the National Inquirer. Let's see if I got the date saved in this darn thing here. I just ripped out the last page before it got thrown out. I don't think I have a date on it, though. So I can't tell you if this article appeared in the latter part of 74, sometime the same year the incident occurred or not, but it was on the back page of the Inquirer.
Okay.
It's got a picture of the controllers here, and I don't think there's any special. There is a little information, maybe. Well, if you want, I can make up a copy of this thing. I'll run it off at work and just send you the copy of the clipping anyway, so at least you get some information from it.
Very good. Great.
And anything else I may have left off here, so it'll at least supplement the information I've given you here.
Right. What are your working hours?
Well, basically I'm on two shifts. Of course, we cover the facility 24 hours a day, so I'm a supervisor there, so I get off the hook for mids. I work either 8 to 4 or 4 to 12, and I rotate.
I see. Okay.
So there's no way you can tell offhand without looking at my schedule or
right.
if I might be there or not, and then days off in between to take a leave and stuff like that. So just potluck. You probably try my house first and check with my wife, and then she can get in touch with me wherever I might be.
Very good.
If there's something that you got, you know, if I'm at work, well, you can call me at work also. She says I'm working, that'd be perfectly all right to call me there.
Very good.
So if I get a hold of something here, too, then I could do a little investigating on my own. I'll just use the name of your organization and say I'm just a representative of the phenomena research. And
fine. We'll get an ID card off to you, too.
Okay, that'll be good. Yeah, something like that. That's probably good. I think people feel a little frustrated in cases like this. So the first place they call is usually the police. And then the next ones they call, I guess, are possibly the airport. Instead of not knowing who else to call. Nobody leaves anybody else to call.
Yeah, it's...
Nobody can do anything about it. But at least I'd be in a better position to decide what to do in a case, whether to check with the radar, or I could check with the Weather Bureau and get information at least on the atmospheric conditions or something like that, and put it all together and come up with a little bit more completed investigation, I guess.
Right. Okay, well, once again, I want to thank you for the call. We sure appreciate it.
Okay, Mr. Gribble. It's been nice talking with you.
Same here.
Okie doke.
We'll be in contact.
Good enough.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.